We have on the line with us right now Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR. Hello, Kenny.
Good morning, Leo. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. And filling in for Katja, and I tried to do a little homework. I know that we had 3 days last week prior to Monday, April 28th, where we were hearing from our local weather people serious warnings about pending possibly extreme weather arriving on Monday, April 28th. But then when Monday came, yeah, there were storms for sure all over the place, even a tornado way south of here. But many of the worst outcomes they had talked about didn't materialize. So the question, I looked into what may have happened, and I hear that we could possibly be thankful there wasn't more sunshine on Monday. So I was wondering if you could explain how that seemingly odd situation explains it all.
Oh, you mean the presence of sunshine, how sunshine can affect the weather?
Yeah, because, people are thinking, oh, if it had been nicer out, it would have been worse.
Yeah. So I definitely want to get to that. So there's a couple things. I think one of the issues is really there's a lot of information available to forecasters, and they're kind of, we almost have an embarrassment of riches now, because there's, you know, if you go back, say, 25 years, you know, forecasting was a little more old fashioned, even just 25 years ago at the beginning of this millennium. There were a few, but not that many. There were a few different kind of weather models. They didn't have the sort of ability to see fine areas or even small amounts of time. They generally had what we call resolution. So the areas and the amounts of time that they could resolve or see were generally on the scale of, you know, maybe about as big as a county, including St. Louis County, which means that they had to make estimates about all the weather that was sort of inside that large county. And then you'd have to kind of make assumptions based on those estimates about, you know, what the distribution of precipitation is going to be inside this, you know, county-sized area that's showing up as having precipitation in it. And also they couldn't really, these forecast tools couldn't really resolve weather on scales anything less than about 3 hours at the time. So you couldn't, there was no way for a model to actually know that there was going to be a thunderstorm in a given place at a given time. And one of the big, and you know, that obviously, even getting to that point 25 years ago was a huge advance over where we had been 25 years prior to that, where you really only had knowledge of the way the weather works informing forecasts. You know, you could take the observations and then apply knowledge about the way the weather works using meteorological principles and use that to make a forecast. But there really wasn't the kind of thing now where all that knowledge is essentially encapsulated in a series of different, you know, we call them models, but they're all, you can almost think of them as like apps, applications, programs that take all of the equations of how the atmosphere works and turn it into sort of outputs that, you know, forecasters can interpret, and then can interpret that into information that users, regular people, can sort of understand. And where we are now is that there's all these different types of forecast models that have very high resolution. And you have to imagine there's sort of almost like a series, each one is like an equalizer, a series of dials with different sensitivities and different things that they can sort of focus on. Because at any one given point, there are these governing equations of how the atmosphere works, but you never really know exactly which one is driving most. And there's always going to be some uncertainty about what's really happening. And so one of the problems that we have is that we have so much information about what could happen that it's, in some cases, unless you have complete unanimity between all those models, makes it difficult to know exactly what will happen. And that's exactly the situation. I think if you were to talk to individual forecasters before Monday, they would have told you, you know, yeah, a lot of what we're looking at shows the potential for a really big outbreak of storms if these specific things come together. Some of the things we're looking at show that no storms are going to happen. And some of the things we're looking at show that historic storms are going to happen. All right. And I think where forecasters usually want to err is if something looks potentially historic, they want to make sure that people understand, hey, this isn't a regular, this isn't your typical thunderstorm potential. There's no guarantee that the storms are going to be, you know, memorable, and certainly not everywhere, but there is a chance. And really what ended up happening on Monday was we had one thunderstorm. I mean, there was, you know, hundreds of storms across Minnesota during the day, but there was really one that tracked kind of south of Mankato over towards Northfield, you know, out, and then it continued on to Eau Claire. And this one did pretty much consistent damage along its path with tornadoes, strong winds, and hail. And most of the other storms in the state were just pretty run of the mill. And I think that's, so in a way, I think the scenario fit into what forecasters thought was possible, but kind of on the lower end. I think we were all expecting a little more just based on the tools we had available. I think, you know, seeing what happened, I was expecting maybe three or four of those types of storms, three or four different individual cells tracking across fairly long paths, you know, 150 to 200 miles. Producing some damage along the way, or maybe even consistent damage along the way. And then maybe one of those three or four cells really going to town and doing kind of an extraordinary or a large amount of damage. I think that's what most of us sort of had in mind. And then on top of that, a scattering of regular run-of-the-mill and strong thunderstorms. And we didn't really hit that. And you're right, it is possible. That one of the causes was there wasn't enough sunshine in the area where it where the storms had the highest potential. And the reason sunshine matters is because even though you think of storms as being, the, you know, clouds come in and it rains and it gets windy, what's really happening is that those clouds are forming because there was enough heat that was able to build up so that heat could rise. And then when the heat rises, the air in the rising air starts to cool. Right. And then if it cools enough, it begins to condense. And so it's actually heating that drives the development of almost all major thunderstorm events. And so if you don't have sunlight in the area that's under the highest potential, it's going to be hard to get sufficient heating. And in that sense, we were a bit limited on Monday. Temperatures remained a little bit lower than had been forecast. It was a bit cloudier. So that's kind of how that fits in, if that makes sense. And on a lot of days, so you're going to have a lot of days this summer where we're talking about thunderstorms, and there might even be some days, this happens a lot in the Arrowhead, and especially up kind of in the Boundary Waters area and where you get inland a bit, where maybe the forecast isn't that dire. It's just like a 30% chance, but you'll note that the thunderstorms don't even form until you get into the, you know, the middle of the day. And then you start seeing those cumulus clouds forming. Those summertime kind of popcorn thunderstorms are driven almost entirely by having sunshine striking the earth, warming the earth, and driving that convective process that leads to those thunderstorms.
Right. So when there's the possibility of a historic level event like there had been forecast for Monday, you don't really need to have your meteorologist adding a heads up that if it's not sunny during the day, don't expect much. That's probably a little bit too much messaging.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of, and there's so many caveats we could use to confuse people even more. And I think one of the frontiers in forecasting now is really going to be figuring out how to communicate, you know, I think most forecasters weren't that surprised that the event didn't go kind of the way that was being messaged publicly.
Right.
Because I think we all had seen, and I should say, you know, I do some forecasting, but I'm nothing like the National Weather Service forecasters who do it every day, whether we're talking about storms or clear skies. But I do have to do some in certain capacities. And, but I would say anyone who follows the weather closely enough to be in the position or be able to make a forecast knew that there was a decent chance that this wasn't going to go the way that some of the worst case scenarios had looked. There were, again, there maybe 30% of the model output just wasn't all that spectacular. But there was also, even in those models, there was this sort of powder keg of amazing ingredients that just wasn't hitting a trigger point. So I think messaging that, you know, hey, we have really high potential in terms of what the atmosphere could do, but we also have fairly high uncertainty about whether it will do it. That's I think one of the great frontiers in forecasting and in communication.
Indeed. And let's take a look forward a bit. I know, in the realm of forecasting, at least you can talk about the systems that are coming in for the next, we have about 2.5 minutes to maybe look ahead. And there's a rumor that we could be warming up quite a bit. We've missed some of the warmth that came to the cities this week, and it looks like maybe we get it too.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely switching. And in fact, if you compare sort of the forecast temperatures to what's normal, the larger anomalies over the next week or two, meaning the larger departures from normal, are going to be over northern Minnesota compared to southern Minnesota. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be warmer, in absolute terms than southern Minnesota, but relative to what's normal, you will be. There's basically this kind of stormy pattern that we've been in with a lot of precipitating weather systems coming every few days. That is at least taking a break for the next week or so, at least week, maybe even longer. And really, during that time, the predominant condition is going to be nice. We're going to have high pressure moving in, which is the opposite of rising air. So you actually have sinking air, and that's great at clearing out clouds. It's great at just producing nice warmth at the ground. And so I wouldn't be surprised, to see 60s almost every day next week, especially as you get inland. You know, it's always a little different right at the shore, right along the lake. But I wouldn't be surprised to see 60s just about every day next week, maybe even some 70s as you get, a little farther inland. It's going to be really nice. It's going to be dry. And so basically we get rid of the rain sometime today, and that should be it. I mean, you'll have frost tonight. You know, you're still going to have cool mornings, going to be in the 40s and maybe the 30s. But those days without much cloud cover, for the most part, temperature is going to climb into the 60s, maybe some 70s. It just looks like kind of a mild, dry period. And again, there's no sign of it changing to a much colder or stormier pattern for maybe 2 weeks.
Any word on windy conditions? You know, we get a lot of drying in a hurry when it's both windy and warm.
Yeah, I would say because of the lack of weather systems coming through the area, once we get this one out, once this one that's causing rain, there's going to be some wind later today. But really, winds are going to probably be fairly light or moderate at most this week. I don't see any big, because there won't be any big temperature changes in the region, and there won't be any big pressure changes in the region. Okay. So I would say the coming week is going to have, 15, 20 mile an hour winds sometimes, but nothing really extraordinary.
Well, I won't throw any more caveats in there. I'll say I'll take it. That sounds wonderful. I appreciate this very much, speaking with you today, Kenny. Katja will be back next week. But in the meantime, we're going to head on out of here. But it's great talking to you. And thanks for giving us some good news.
Yeah, sure. Nice talking to you, too. Thanks a lot, Leo.
Okay. You take care. Bye now. Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.